Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States, and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on rare earths and forbidden cures when we come back. You know, once in a while, we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton. Now, Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. You know it, and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. Now, if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know that, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, he said that in 1880. 1880. That's 125 years ago. These rich men behind the scenes today are the movers and shakers of this Global 2000 program, this New World Order. They're the men and families like the Windsors and the Rockefellers, the Bushes and Bundys and the Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about this Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and the New World Order, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package? Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and then best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967 to order your free General Law CD package. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, just go to the webpage and click onto that email. Send us an email request. All right, we're reviewing a book called Rare Earths and Forbidden Cures, written by a guy named Joel Wallach. He's a veterinarian, naturopath, medical doctor. His wife's a medical doctor. And he put together a hell of a series of lectures, or a lecture, in which he had a great series of statistics and facts and figures about allopathic medical doctors. And he tells you in the story over here that half the medical doctors in America are on drugs, you know, like cocaine. And then they're prescribing to you drugs, of which 70% of these allopathic medical doctors couldn't pass a test on pharmacy. That's right. 70% of the medical doctors in America, when they were tested by their own publication, the American Medical Association, that's the journal, JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, 70% of them flunked it. So if your doctor is average, you know, then he's in that 70%. And that means that he's incompetent and unable to prescribe for you correctly. And if he's prescribing for you and you're 65 or older, 25% of his prescriptions are incorrect. His diagnosis is incorrect and his prescription is incorrect. 25% of the time, if you're an old man. He probably does a little better if you're young. So Wallach, who is a doctor, is taking aim at his fellow practitioners. It should get him killed because Robert Mendelsohn died suddenly. Did you remember that? Remember, he's the guy that wrote the book Medical Heretic, you know, and how to beat your pediatrician over the head, you know, with the snake venom and monkey pus that he's shooting your kid up with or something like that. Mendelsohn's the guy's name, Robert Mendelsohn. You got to get his books. You'll just laugh and scratch and hoot and holler and tears will roll down your face and you'll say, my God, if the world wasn't so serious, this would really be funny. And then along with that comes this guy. His name is Joel Wallach, and he writes this book called Rare Earths. Big, thick manual. It's about 8.5 by 11. And it's 500 pages long, and it's 13 chapters, and I'm just kind of scratching the surface over here. And in chapter 8, he's got a chapter here on the age beaters. The age beaters. Talks about old people, you know, guys that live for a long time. Guys like George Burns and Bob Hope. Now, there's several places around the world. We took a look at that in Glacial Milk, where people live to be 100 years old or more. And that's because they've got high mineral contents in their soils and in their water. And they have a higher percentage of people that live to be 100 years old. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't people here in America that live to be 100. But not very many of you people in, you know, New York, Philadelphia, or Los Angeles are going to live to be 100 years old. Not breathing the air and eating the pollution and drinking the water and living in that kind of a polluted environment. That's not very likely. But there'll be a few of you, a few. But there's a lot more, percentage-wise, in these certain locations around the world. So he goes to these certain locations, says, okay, here are people that live to be 100 years old. So let's look at these 100-year-old centenarians, they call them, and see what are they doing to live to be 100 years old. That's for those of you that might entertain the idea of living to be 100. Most of you will live to be at about age 75, the average here in the United States, about age 75. And then that's, of course, unless you're a medical doctor, in which case you're going to die at age 58. Medical doctors die young. He starts off by saying all species have a genetic potential, or an upper limit for longevity. In mice, it's 700 days. In dogs, it's 23 years. In horses, it's 32 years. Elephants, 45 years. Chimpanzees, 52 years. And man is 145 years. I'm going to pause right there, and I'm going to make an observation, 145 years. I kind of wonder where he gets these numbers. Now, it is true that there might be an exceptional man somewhere that lived to be 145 years old. In the Bible, we see a number of people. Abraham lived to be 175. And Joseph lived to be 110. Jacob was 145, I believe. Something like that. That was a long time ago. And I haven't observed that. I have observed some people that live to be 100. And I remember old man Kelso in Ferndale, California, was still riding his three-wheel bicycle in 1957 at age 105. 105 years old. And there's a few people that are recorded in the Guinness Book of Records that made it to 123. I read about a French lady, made 123. But there are reports. I don't know if they're politically correct reports that come out of Russia or someplace, you know, where they report some guy's 168 years old or 215. I think most of that's BS. But even if it's true, it's an exception. Really a wild exception if some guy lived to be 148 or 168 or something like that. But it is reasonable to live to be 100 years old because there's a lot of people. I mean, there's several thousand here in the United States that are 100 years old right now today. So my common sense says that, well, if 5,000 people in America can live to be 100, well, then why can't 10,000 people live to be 100? Or 20,000, or 50,000, or 100,000? How come I can't live to be 100? George Burns did. So these other numbers over here, I think, are statistical averages. I guess mice do live for 700 days. I personally know of several horses that have lived beyond 32 years of age, personally. So when you say that horses, their upper limits is 32 years, I think that it's really more like 35. I know that Scotch Highland cattle live to be 40 years old, while normal cows live to be about 20 to 23, 24, something like that. I had an old Jersey cow down here some years back, lived to be 23. That's rare. Rare. Normally, we don't let them live that long. We send them off to the butcher before then. But, you know, sometimes you got this old cow and you kind of like her and you keep her around. She's been an old buddy, you know, for years and years. And I got a couple like that here now. And hell, they may live longer than I will. But horses, you know, we normally don't eat. And so, you know, I don't know about elephants and orangutans and giraffes. But this 145 years here, Wallach, is, you know, really stretching it a little bit. So I'm going to take exception with that and point that out to my listeners and say, well, you know, let's be reasonable and let's get down to 100. The genetic potential of human beings being 100 years old, the upper limits, you know, I think that's pretty reasonable. Hell, my old great-granddaddy, Abe Snyder, lived to be 92 or 3, was. And my granny lived to be 87. So I don't see any reason why we can't make it to 100. You know, my granny, she smoked Camel Studs, you know, from 18 to 85. And the only reason she quit at 85 is because she had a stroke and she couldn't strike matches anymore. But she still lived three more years. Hell, if that old lady hadn't smoked and drank and chased wild men, she might have lived to be 100, maybe a little over. Now, he points out here that whether or not an individual of that species reaches their genetic potential for longevity depends on two basic concepts. He says, first of all, you need to avoid the landmines or eliminate the unnecessary and wasteful death from predators or road accidents, such as not smoking, don't drink alcohol to excess, avoiding the use of illegal and prescription drugs, avoiding chemicals and toxic wastes in our food, air and water, and avoid going to the doctor. Now, this guy's got a great sense of humor. He said, you know, if you stay away from the doctor, you probably live longer. Got an old lady who lives over here on what we call Poverty Ridge. And was over there one day doing something, delivering milk or buying chickens or doing something, and we got to chit-chatting a little bit, and she said, well, she'd go to a funeral. And I said, well, funeral? What funeral are you going to? My brother. And I said, your brother died. I'm sorry to hear that. He says, oh, yeah, well, it wasn't unexpected. You know, it wasn't unexpected. And I said, oh, well, what did he die of? And she says, oh, they just doctored him to death. They just doctored him to death. And she pretty well hit the nail on the head. You know, there's people out there. I had an Aunt Floy, you know. And they just doctored her to death. She was a hypochondriac, and she just sick about everything, you know. In fact, if she wasn't talking about her operations and about her incurable diseases, she wouldn't have anything to talk about. I mean, you couldn't converse with her. And so the people are like that. They enjoy going to the doctor. They enjoy getting their prescriptions. They enjoy the conversation, the camaraderie that goes with being sick and dealing with sick people. Now, I'm not like that. I'm kind of healthy, and I like dealing with healthy people. I like camaraderie with people, you know, that aren't sick, and tell them, oh, my God, I feel real bad, and I can't walk very good. My arthritis is kicking up. So this guy Wallach, he points out, he says, you know, if you stay away from the doctor, you probably live longer. Second thing he points out, he says, do those positive things necessary to make it to 145, including consuming each of the 90 essential nutrients in optimal amounts every day. So there's 365 days in a year. See how many days this is. You want to live to be 100 years old. Take 100 times 365, and that's 36,500 days. Well, Wallach says it costs 57 cents a day times 0.57, so it's going to cost you $20,805 from birth to death if you want to live to be 100 years old if you buy these mineral supplements. Now, of course, a lot of people would say, well, that's $20,000 wasted. Well, I've wasted a lot of money in my life, so I think I'll go ahead and waste a little bit. Now, see, I'm 67. 77, 87, 90 cents, 33 more years. How much money am I going to have to spend now on this Wallach program? And so if I took 33 years times 365 days, that's 12,045 days times 0.57, it's going to cost me $6,865.65, $7,000 in round numbers, for me to live to be 100. Now I'm sitting here saying, would I spend $7,000 to live to be 100? $7,000. Boys and girls, most of you people right now listening to me, if you have health insurance, you're spending $9,200 a year on health insurance right now. How much money could I save at $9,200, $9,200, times 33 years? That's $303,600. So if I give up my health insurance, I'll save $303,600, and I'm going to spend about $7,000 on these minerals. All right, now let me subtract $7,000 from this $303,000. We'll go $303,000. And then I'm gonna take 7,000 away from that. I'm gonna net $296,000 over the next 33 years. I'm gonna pay myself about $300,000 over the next 30 years. It's $100,000 every 10 years. Yeah, about $100,000 every 10 years. And by sucking up Wallach's minerals. Now, I might not live to be 100. I might die at age 87 or 94 or hell, I might die next week. You never can tell. But I'm going to give it a shot. And so let's come back to our class reunion here. And what year is this going to be? If I live to be 100 years old, it'll be the year 2039. So let's come back to our class reunion in 2039 and let's see. You stay in Los Angeles and you eat out of Kroger's or Safeway. And I'll eat off my garden and I'll take these supplements and let's see who's at the class reunion in 2039. All right, now assuming that you avoid the landmines of life, longevity then depends on how faithfully that you take in the optimal amounts of these 90 essential nutrients necessary for health and longevity each and every day. An analogy to our genetic potential for longevity is the engine of the Mercedes, which is a wonder of German automotive engineering. Now, the engine is designed to run 300,000 miles before it needs a major overhaul or needs to be replaced. Yet, if you, the owner, the driver, don't maintain the Mercedes engine by supplying the essential coolants, lubricants, and motor oil, that wondrous engine designed to run 300,000 miles won't run 50 miles. Without oil or coolant, even a Mercedes won't make it to its engineered potential, its genetic potential of 300,000 miles, 120 to 140 years. The association between maximizing one's longevity and the intake of optimal amounts of essential nutrients is well documented in the laboratory for many species and in isolated third world cultures in far-flung areas of the world. While the people of the long-lived third world cultures do not each have a PhD in biochemistry or nutrition, they have the serendipity set up their homelands, or by serendipity, set up their homelands in an idyllic biochemical Garden of Eden. And while these idyllic homelands are superficially quite different, it is their similarities or common denominators that give the net results of healthful longevity that we can learn and benefit from. The oldest known story relating Let me flip over here a few pages. I think it's 10 pages. The oldest known story relating to active human research for the secrets of longevity is the 5,000-year-old saga of Gilgamesh, the Samaritan king from Uruk, who along with Enkidu, a good friend and the general of his armies, decided that they would live forever. So when Enkidu, his friend and general, died suddenly of disease in the mid-years of his life, Gilgamesh panicked and he decided to put all of his fortune and energies into a do-or-die search for eternal youth and immortality. Gilgamesh climbed to the tops of the highest mountains, searched in the dense forests, and dove deep into the depths of rivers and oceans in his legendary and fanatical search for youth and longevity. Gilgamesh was originally regarded as a gerontological myth until the discovery of 12 clay tablets that archaeologists determined to be 5,000 years old, pieced together after their discovery in the ancient city of Sumer. The tablets confirmed that Gilgamesh was in fact a king, adventurer and hero of his times, who led a great quest for the key to immortality. He called for a revolt against death itself. So as the legend goes, Gilgamesh eventually and heroically found a wise old man in the high mountains who spoke of a fragrant flower that looked like a buckthorn and pricked like a rose. The wise prophet shared with Gilgamesh that the plant could be found at the floor of the world's deepest sea, and by coming into possession of this plant and tasting it, one could regain his youth. Gilgamesh located the plant, however, before he could eat sufficient quantities to rejuvenate himself, the plant was stolen from him by a serpent seeking a new skin. Hyperborean legends of longevity tell of the island of the blessed, where, according to the ancient Greek Strabo and Pindar, and Pliny the Roman, live blessed humans with very healthy and exceedingly long lives. Hyperborean translates to beyond the north wind. A wondrous legendary place of health, joy, and pleasures of the unknown, and a place of great difficulty to reach. Now, many cultures still have deep beliefs in the ability to attain immortality by masters and still embrace this golden age, such as the Hindus, Iranians, the Celtics, and the Chinese. Now, the Chinese Taoists developed a whole way of life to ensure immortality through training and self-discipline directed at conservation of what limited resources one was given at birth. Translation of Tao gives us the way to immortality, through the accomplishment or mastery of the Taoist techniques. One would become a Heizen, or an immortal, or a man-god. If you could master the knowledge of primal substances like alchemy and the knowledge of minerals and metals, the quintessentials of life and sex become a Heisen. You could control physical reality and be as a master magician, course through the air as a bird, control the weather, take different animal shapes as you wish, become invisible, become immortal, and thus in effect ageless. God, that sounds like our government today, doesn't it? Now, the three basic truths of Taoism are naturalism, empiricism, and special skills. And according to the Tao, everyone begins their life at birth with a fixed or a given amount of ki or life force, which you must conserve as a major factor in attaining immortality. Conservation of ki requires progression towards a state of effortless action, thus gaining optimal benefits in life, health, and longevity with a minimal expenditure of energy or ki. You know, as I read stories like this and these old-timey legends, you know, God told us, he said, I want to put your feet on the ground over here. It is appointed to all men to die once. So children, we are all going to die. God himself didn't get off this planet alive. You got that? God himself. Jesus of Nazareth died and then had to be resurrected to get off this planet. So if God himself can't get out of here alive, what makes you think you're getting out of here alive? Now, the Bible talks about resurrections. These guys talk about eternal life. These old-timey legends and these religions of the past, these guys say, you've already got eternal life. You've got an immortal soul. You didn't get that from God. You got that from some pagan religion. And it's probably good religion. I'm not here to pick a fight now with you over your religion. I'm just telling you that it's bad law. And it's bad science, and that isn't the way the world works. Just isn't the way the world works. So let's get our feet on the ground. These Taoist dietary practices include avoidance of grains, meat, wine, most vegetables, and subsistence on roots and fruit. The master Heisen are able to live on breath for meat and saliva for drink. You know, come on guys. Come on guys. I see this all the time. We got these vegans and vegetarians and they say, hey, we got the way to longevity. We're going to live 130 or 40 years. Come on. People don't live to be 130 or 40 years old. There are some people that do live to be 100. There's a couple of three stories here in this book where people live to be 115. And as I said a little earlier, you know, sometimes you'll find some guy that lived to be 125. 123, I think, was the record in France. Some old lady just died here a couple of years ago. She's 123, documented. Now that we can believe, that's pretty reasonable. So I'm not sure that I can live to be 123, but I'd like to be, you know, 110. I'd like to live to be 110 and die with my shoes off in bed, in my sleep, of old age. I mean, that's the way to go. My old granddaddy Snyder, that's the way he went. He went to bed at 10:30. Next morning, about 7:30, he wasn't up yet. An old man, he used to get up, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock. He wasn't up yet. So by 7:30, they went up and knocked on the door, and there was no answer. And so they went inside, and there he was, stretched out on the bed, dead. Died in his sleep. So he was 92 years old. Not a bad old age to get to. Wallach here, by contrast, now has put in a bunch of obituaries in here. I read a bunch of them to you. People dying, you know, 37, 39, 44, 57, 61. And if you're dying at age 61, you're not living to your full potential. Hell, on average, you should live to be 75. Smoking White Owl cigars and drinking Wild Turkey whiskey, you should live to be age 75, for crying out loud. That's the average. Now, Wallach comes along and says, well, now, if you didn't drink to excess, didn't smoke, and stayed out of the doctor's office, you might make it a little bit longer than that. The body of Adam, for instance, did not possess elements in full equality, according to the Taoists. But since the elements in him approached equality, there was very little waste in him, and hence he was fit for immortality, which he could have had, secured if he had not, or if he had always eaten of the tree of life, because the fruit is thought to have elements approaching equality. So I go back to the Bible here, and yeah, Adam had the potential for eternal life. It was offered to him. He said, God told him, he said, over here is the tree of life, over here is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, don't eat off this tree, but do eat off of this one. Adam got the story backwards. He goes over, eats off the wrong tree, gets kicked out of the garden, and dies. In fact, God told him, he said, in the day that you eat off that tree, you're going to die. He didn't believe it. He thought God was lying to him. Satan came over and said, hey, God's lying to you. Don't believe him. Now go ahead and eat off that tree. Adam ate off of it. Satan said, see, you ate off the tree and you didn't die. Satan was telling him the truth. He used to tell him the whole truth. You're not going to die today, but you're surely going to die. And Adam died. He's dead now. In case you didn't know that, Adam's dead. And my grandmother's dead, and my great-granddaddy's dead, and I'm going to die, and you're going to die. And all of us are dying. The trick here is we would like to live as long as possible before the inevitable comes. In fact, that's one of the benefits that you get from the Scripture. You're entitled by law, under the terms of a contract, to 25,550 days. He says, I'll give you 80 years if you're strong. So God tells you what your lifespan is. It's 70 to 80 years. That's your allotted lifespan. Now, Mr. Wallach can believe that it's 140, or you can follow the Taoists, and you can follow all these religions, and you can get off out here into immortal souls and religious ideologies. You know, like I said, it's probably good religion, probably good philosophy, it's just bad law, and it isn't where reality's at. So I like to deal in real terms. And the reality is, you're gonna die, and you want to die at some time over 80. You'd like to have a strong body, and I think Wallach's got the best solution for strong bodies, and that is minerals. I've observed that myself with cattle. You see, when cattle become minerally deficient, they get sick. And when they get sick, they die. And that's because, you know, they don't have penicillin, insulin. When a cow gets diabetes, you know, we don't give her insulin. We give her a number 9 overcoat with cellophane wrapping. When a cow gets to where they don't breed back anymore, they become infertile, we get rid of them. They don't die of old age at age 23 or 35. They die at about age 9, 10, 12, you know, something like that. And we decorate them out with hamburger. That's the way that game is played. Meanwhile, back on the farm, cows develop mad cow disease. Why do they get mad cow disease? Bypass protein. We go to the boys at Monsanto and we rely upon science. And science gives us mad cow disease. Science gives us cancer. You know, science gives us chemical fertilizers and depleted soil. That's what science gives us. Now, I'm not down on science. I'm not telling you, that science is all bad. But when science tries to take the place of God, you're getting down the wrong rabbit trail. You know, and we here in America, we're far down. We're a fur piece down the wrong rabbit trail here. Time to come back up to the fork in the road. And let me give you a reminder here, and we'll get on here with this thing of longevity. Let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Keep in mind that the law school teaches 8 schools, such as family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Then after you order it, be patient with me. Be patient. I'm an old man. We'll get it out to you. It may take us a little time, but we'll get it out to you. Keep in mind that the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give out don't mean that those authors or publications are going to endorse or recommend us. Most of the authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint doesn't necessarily coincide with our viewpoint 100% of the time. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio stations. Don't blame them. Blame me. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. 4967. Okay, we're reviewing chapter 8 of a book called Rare Earths and Forbidden Cures, written by Dr. Joel Wallach. Heck of a guy, Dr. Wallach. You can buy this book, and this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to sell his book. Hell, I don't even know if it's still in print. Last time they had a print run was 1996. Seventh edition, 1996. But if he's like I am, you know, I've written a lot of books over the years. And if you wanted one of those old books, I'll bet you we'd dig it up for you. And I'll just bet you that Wallach is doing the same thing here. I'll just bet you that he published this himself, just like I do. Had it printed by some local publisher or printer down there, had 10,000 copies made up and then sold out, and then he printed up a bunch more and sold out. And so on. I'll just bet you he's still got 50 or 75 of these books around. And it doesn't make any difference that they're 14 years old. They're probably more valuable today than they were when he printed it, because it's worse today than when he made these statements. And he's got some real dynamite information in here, and his number is 1-800-755-4656. So you can call him direct, 1-800-755-4656. Or you can write to him at P.O. Box 1222, Benita, California, 91908. Again, that's P.O. Box 1222. Benita, B-O-N-I-T-A, California, 91908. Dr. Joel, J-O-E-L, Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H. Talking about longevity here. He says, Benjamin Franklin, back in 1780, wrote a letter to Joseph Priestley, and he said, agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may by some means be prevented or cured, not excepting even that of old age. And our lives lengthened at pleasure even beyond the antediluvian standard. Hey, Ben Franklin had high hopes, didn't he? I bet you he was relying upon the scientific method. I bet you he thought, you know, if we could just apply ourselves to this and find out what causes cancer, which, by the way, we know. But we're not publishing that because, geez, if we did that, it would wreck a $500 billion a year industry, you know. Trade, commerce, business, and industry comes before health, safety, and welfare of the public. Aristotle had labeled his state of perfection that would provide immortality. He called it the fifth essence. He said it's earth, air, fire, water, and the fifth essence. Earth, air, fire, water, and the fifth essence. Alchemist Basil Valentine wrote in his The Triumphal Chariot of Antimony, how to formulate the elixirs of life and immortality. Take equal parts of this elixir and of our sweet oil of antimony, put into a well-closed phial. If exposed to a gentle heat, the precipitate will gradually be dissolved and fixed in the oil, for the fire consumes its viscidity, and it becomes a red, dry, fixed, and a fluid powder, which does not give out the slightest smoke. God, it almost sounds, you know, we got religion, we got philosophy, and we got science. And the scientists, they say, well, if we can come up with this magic potent over here, and they want you to walk 100 miles, and then they want you to donate money to this or that fund over here so that we can search for the cure to cancer. My God, this has been going on for thousands of years. Now, back here on the farm, God said it's appointed to all men to die once. So get it in your head, you're going to die. Forget about your immortal soul, you're coming up in a resurrection. There's three of them. There's the first resurrection, called the better resurrection, the general resurrection, and then the eternal resurrection, or the resurrection to eternal damnation, and death. Eternal death. Death. The opposite of life. Cessation of life. Death. You know, let's get down here on the bottom line. Now, he's got a bunch of obituaries in here. And these obituaries deal with people that have long life. And boy, there's a bunch of them in here talking about, you know, people that live to be 110 years old. Here's a Russian passes his 140th year. Hey, listen, I'm not going to disagree with that. The guy might have lived to be 140. But boys and girls, that's not the standard. That's not the rule of thumb. Here's a Russian. He gardens on his 168th birthday. the man the Soviet government calls the oldest in the world. The guy's name down here, his name is Shirali Mislimov. He celebrated his 168th birthday yesterday by working in his garden and taking his daily half-mile walk. Hell, maybe the guy did live to be 168, but that's not very practical. But hey, listen, down in Peru, down around Lake Titicaca, up in the Himalaya Mountains, there's a bunch of people that do live or have lived for a long time. What do those people have in common? So let's take a look here at a group of people. They call them the Hunza. Hunza people. I had the page here a second ago. I saw the word Hunza here. Here it is. 14 Hunza practices. Let's see. See if I've got Hunza over here somewhere. Yeah, here it is. The single most important food is used by the people of Hunza consists of dried apricots and whole ground grain mixed together to form a toddy. The story of the Hunza began 2,300 years ago with Alexander the Great. Alexander was the firstborn son of King Philip of Macedonia. Legend has said that the night before the consummation of Philip's marriage, she dreamed, that is, his wife dreamed, she dreamed that a thunderbolt fell upon her body and kindled a great fire whose divided flames dispersed themselves all about and then were extinguished. It goes on to talk about Philip and more of this history and old philosophy and one thing. Now, the 14 Hunza practices boil down to this. Basic diet is grains, that is whole grain and sprouted. Ah. Vegetables, raw or steamed. Ah, look at that. Fruits are dried and reconstituted in water or diced and served in gelatin. Goat and mutton, tendon and cartilage. Meat at 2 to 4 pounds per week. Mutton, goat, yak, beef, poultry, brain, kidney, liver. I want to point this out. Mutton, goat, yak, beef, poultry are all clean animals. They're not eaten. Pork and shellfish, lobster, and turtle, and squid. And I want you to notice here that they're eating whole grain and sprouted. When you sprout grain, it adds to its nutritional value. And I'm not a nutritionist, and I'm not an expert here. I'm just a reporter. And I've read many, many reports on this, and my wife, she keeps telling me. And we do this right here on the farm. We'll take grain, and we'll pour it in a bucket, and then we'll pour water on it, and we'll sprout it, and then feed it to the chickens. And that's because they get more nutritional value out of sprouted rather than they do whole grains. Now, whole grains are great. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just telling you that there's ways to get more out of it. I mean, you can get 100% out of whole grain. Wouldn't you like to get 110 or 20% out of sprouted grain? So they're sprouting. I want you to notice that vegetables, they eat them raw or steamed. Here in America, we cook this stuff to about 180 degrees or 212 degrees. We boil this stuff until we destroy everything. And then we put it into cans and sell it on the shelves. And then you people go in to the Safeway store and you buy a can of peas. I mean, there's about as much nutrition in this as there is in a bale of straw. And then you wonder why you get sick. So notice these Hunzas over here are eating their vegetables raw or steamed. Now let me tell you about this steaming over here. An old guy by the name of Orson Merrill. Hell, he was an old man in his 80s when I knew him. The old fart may still be alive for all I know. But anyway, he was a nutrition guy. And he ate a lot of vegetables. And he ate them steamed. And he said, now let me show you how to cook these, Gordon. He said, you put these vegetables in this pan, you put a lid over the top of it, and you put just a little bit of water here in the bottom. Maybe it was 2 or 3 tablespoons of water. And he said, carrots or peas or whatever it is. And he said, now put this on the fire, and a low fire. Don't boil this stuff up here and try to cook this stuff and kill everything, but put it on a low heat, and let it simmer here. He brought it up to a boil, and he turned it way down very low and just let it simmer. Let the steam in the pan cook the vegetables for about 5 minutes. Took them out, and the vegetables weren't soft and mushy. They were still hard and firm, but they were soft enough to chew. And he said, now, we haven't killed all the enzymes in this food yet. So he says, you take this raw carrot, and you steam it. so you don't kill the enzymes and then you eat it. He said, then you can have cooked food without destroying all the nutrition that's in it. Now, when you cook this food, it doesn't kill the minerals, but it kills the vitamins. It destroys the enzymes. Now, notice that these Hunzas over here live to be 100. Great bunch of these people. I don't know what the percentage is, 1%, 5% or something like that, live to be 100. They eat raw and steamed. They eat fruits. Fruits are dried and then reconstituted. Let's pause right there and talk about dried fruit. You people don't eat dried fruit. You people go over here and you eat Dole canned pineapple from Hawaii. There's no nutritional value left in this Dole pineapple. Or you buy a whole pineapple that comes from Hawaii that's been irradiated. Once they've irradiated it, they've killed all the enzymes in it. Kids, remember these 90 food elements that you got to have, minerals, vitamins? Some of those are enzymes. These enzymes are absolutely necessary. You got to have them. So when you're eating canned food, 80% of the nutritive value of canned food's gone in the canning process. Now, I'm not telling you shouldn't have any canned food. I'm just telling you it should be rare. So when I go to the store, I always ask them, well, where does pineapple come from? If it comes from Hawaii, it's been irradiated. I don't buy anything that comes from Hawaii. If it comes from Hawaii, it's American. If it's American, it ain't fit to eat. You got to grow it yourself or get it from someplace else. Get it from the Philippines, get it from Thailand, and then pray to God that it hasn't been irradiated. Notice that the Hunzas up here are eating dried fruits. Reconstituted in water or diced and then served in gelatin. Goat and mutton, tendon and cartilage. Tendon and cartilage, not fat. These people don't eat the fat off those animals, which is precisely what God told you. Remember, he said, you shall eat no manner of fat in Leviticus 3:17. He repeated that again. It's in the scripture twice. Two statutes. Don't eat fat. We go to McDonald's, boys and girls, and we buy 247 pounds of red meat a year, of which 50% plus is hamburger, of which the 50% of the 247 pounds. See how much fat you're eating here. Take 247 pounds. And then let's divide that by two, because half of what you're eating is hamburger. The hamburger is 123.5 pounds of hamburger. Okay. Now, let's take that times 0.30, 30% fat. That's 37 pounds of fat a year. The average American is consuming 37 pounds of suet a year. And God said, don't eat any. Zero, zilch, none. Cut it out. All right. Now, these Hunza people are following these biblical principles. Can you follow that? They're not eating unclean meat. They're not eating fat. They're eating dried fruits and vegetables. There isn't anything that these people are doing over here that's any different than you could do in Los Angeles, Philadelphia, or New York. Do you know that? You can buy dried fruits from California. Now, you don't have to live in New York. In fact, it'd be better if you got the hell out of there because the water's chlorinated. I just saw a number here last night. I'm going to pass this on to you. The next time that you're out on the road, get in, you know, stop at the Holiday Inn, you know, or the Ritz or the Madison or the Addison or whatever it is, and go in and take a bath. Go sit in the bathtub for 15 minutes, and your skin will absorb as much of the chemical in the water, mainly the fluoride. And what's that other one over there, the one that they used to kill the bacteria? In 15 minutes in the bathtub, you'll absorb enough of those two chemicals to equal 2 quarts of water. Now, most of you people are very careful, and you're drinking bottled water, and you're not drinking the water out of the tap, but you take a bath in it, and it's the equivalent of drinking 2 quarts of it, just bathing in it. That's how much you absorb. Now, isn't that just special? Now, these people are not absorbing those chemicals. These people are living in the mountains and drinking clean water. Leaving the minerals in the water, leaving the glacial milk alone. Think about this. If you just left the glacial milk alone and just drank the water, the mere fact that it doesn't have fluoride and this other chemical, it slips my mind now, it's my Alzheimer's kicking in, then they're drinking clean, pure water. Now, they're living high up in the mountains above the smog level, aren't they? So they're breathing clean air. They're drinking clean water. They're eating dried foods with all the enzymes and the vitamins and minerals that are in it. They're not eating fat. They're eating clean meat, not eating unclean meat, you know, such as rats and mice and a shrimp and lobster and clam and crabs and pig. And as a result of that, they are following biblical law and living to be 100 years old. Now, boys and girls, my common sense tells me if you'd follow these same biblical laws, I don't know if these Hunza people know anything about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or if they know anything about the law of Moses, but they are, in fact, practicing Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. I mean, it's just reporting that that's what they're practicing. Now, their farm soils are maintained by organic or agricultural practices. They're not putting on chemical fertilizers and ancient orange. That which is taken from the soil is returned to the soil. Composting, plant debris, and animal manure is turned back into the soil. All of the Hunzas work 7 days a week. Each week, work never killed anyone. To them, there's no Sabbath. They work 12 hours a day. Fat sources include whole milk, butter, ghee, apricot oil, and animal fats. All right, now those animal fats now are killers. But, you know, my grandmother smoked until she was 85. From 18 to 85. You believe that? And that woman smoked for about 67 years. And a pack of Camel Studs every day, died age 85. If she hadn't smoked, she might have lived to be 95. And if these Hunzas over here didn't eat the animal fat, which God told them not to eat, they might even live longer, might have less disease. I know the Eskimos eat a lot of animal fat, but they're getting minerals out of those animals. Total absence of additives, preservatives, or chemicals in their air, food, and water. Notice these additives and preservatives. You know, we Americans live in 87,000 chemicals. 87,000 chemicals are in current production in the United States. Now, you know, you're probably not coming into contact with all 87,000, but, you know, you're coming into contact. Just go to the store and just buy any food item, and then look at the chemical additives that are put in your food. And that's the direct pollutant right there. Then in addition to that, you know, you got bug spray and you spray that around and then you inhale it. Goes into your lungs. I mean, if you can inhale cigarette smoke and get a direct hit of nicotine into your blood system, what do you think happens when you spray bug spray, you know, to kill roaches and flies and things like that, and then you inhale it? Don't you get a direct hit of the same poison into your bloodstream? I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. These Hunzas have a daily consumption of salt by adding chunks of rock salt to their tea and in cooking vegetables and meat. No agricultural sprays or chemicals of any kind. All of the children are breastfed for 2 years for girls and 4 years for boys. I think that might be a little excessive, ladies, but then, you know. No vaccinations or antibiotics, no birth defects, and only 2 hermaphrodites, or Mukhanas, recorded in the 2,300-year Hunza history. They've only had 2 birth defects recorded in 23 years of Hunza history. Do you know in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, God said you'd have no birth defects practicing this law? That's the thing that amazed me when I read this Hunza story over here. I mean, these guys are practicing biblical law. I don't know how in the hell they figured it out or found out about it, or just an accident, you know, just a, the roll of the dice, but all of their grains, vegetables, and fruits are dried for storage, have been exposed to the sun. Native herbs are used for medicine, seasoning, and as for food. Glacial milk is the exclusive water source used for drinking and irrigation purposes. The fields are flooded. When the water soaks into the soil, a thick layer of mineral silt or rock flour is left on top of the soil. This silt is plowed into the soil before it's planted. Apricot oil is used for cooking along with ghee, that's clarified butter, and animal fat, tallow. Now, that animal fat's a killer, but not the butter fat. Not the butter fat. Here's why. See, these people are drinking raw milk. It's got the enzyme. See, cows have an enzyme. You got to have that enzyme to break the milk down to get the nutritive value out of it, particularly the calcium. When you boil it, you destroy the enzyme. The Bible uses the term butter 8 times. Butter, milk, is good for you. He gave us a land of milk and honey. It just wasn't pasteurized. But the animal fat itself, the tallow, you should avoid. Now, the only thing that they're violating, the only violation that I can see here in the of scriptural law is that they're eating animal fat. Now, I don't know how much they're eating. Maybe they eat a bunch. Maybe they don't eat very much. I don't know. Whole grains are used exclusively, no processed flours, and the Hunza eats a meager fare each day, usually around 1,800 to 2,000 calories. The Hunza remained unvanquished until 1891 when the British Empire conquered and pacified the Hunzas by installing an Ismaili ruler known as the Mir. The average annual precipitation in Hunza is less than 2 inches, and the surrounding mountains, the Karakoram Range, is only 300 miles long. The mountains are bare, naked, and metallic gray-looking. Mount Rakaposhi is 25,550 feet high, overlooks the 8,500-foot-high Hunza Valley, along with more than 60 summits higher than 22,000 feet. Maps refer to the Karakoram Range at the junction of many countries as the Pamirs, the Afghanistan Pamir, the Russian Pamir, and the Chinese Pamir, and so on. Tibet is often called the roof of the world. However, Lhasa is at an elevation of only 13,000 feet and is surrounded by summits of only 18,000 feet. A few miles above the junction of the pearl-gray waters of the Hunza River and the Gilgit River is a village called Secunderabad, and it's here that the Hunza Valley begins. The Hunza Valley follows the Hunza River up to its sources beyond Misgar, almost on the Chinese border, where it springs from glacial torrents spewing from under the 5,000-square-mile Altar Glacier. So there's the essential story of the Hunzas. There's about 4 or 5 other groups of people. The thing that they all have in common is their diets and the glacial milk and the lack of the pollutants. So why don't you think about that? Instead of living in Los Angeles, New York, or Philadelphia, why don't you think about living out in the country? God gave us an inheritance. He called it the land. It's on the land that you produce good food. You can produce good food. I can produce good food. You can't buy it at Safeway or Kroger. Taint there. So you're not buying it. Remember that this is called Rare Earths and Forbidden Cures. The guy's name is Dr. Joel Wallach. Dr. Joel Wallach. Phone number is 1-800-755-4656. Again, that's 1-800-755-4656. Hey, I'm out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law hour is carried worldwide over the internet. All of these law hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time. Same station. God willing, of course. So until then, when we're talking about rare earths and forbidden cures, thanks for listening and good night, friends.